Okay, so pro-self as a contrast to the lamb, and is the contrast, and is the main contrast, and this there is this reality that everything that's not out of the nature of God came through pro-self. Which was initiated by Satan. So I want to, I mean, this, I can't express the importance of this particular class because we're going to really get into the Word and we're going to look at a lot of different scriptures that maybe even you are familiar with, but in looking at those scriptures, we're going to see them in context of this class. And I'll just quite honestly say, other than something just digging straight into the lamb, this is going to be one of the most important classes, because you will begin with time as we go through this to see how pervasive this spirit of pro-self, which was initiated by the enemy, is in our regular thinking, in our regular, it's just mind-boggling to me. So I want to start with just giving a short outline of what the first portion, which, you know, could take a little while with my first portion, but it's going to help us to see some stages. And I call this a short outline of the six falls, and then in parentheses, and spread of pro-self in the Bible. Okay, so the first one is, of course, it's the great fall. And usually when we talk about the fall, we go immediately to Adam and Eve. And that's where you'll find everybody's beginning of a fall. That's not the truth. That's on my list here of the different falls that happen. That fall is third. So what I'm saying is, I'm going to, after I show you this list, I'm going to start going down these things in order. All right. And so, just so you know, that fall happened in heaven. It happened in heaven. It didn't happen on earth. It happened in heaven. And the main testimonies, now I think most of y'all will know these scriptures that I'm about to give you, but I don't know that you've all really seen them in light of pro-self and of the fall before all these other falls, if you will. Isaiah 14 and Ezekiel 28, of course. Of course. All right. So the second great fall, so second one, and of course I should have put under here Satan. So under the first great fall was Satan, but under the second one, it is the second fall is fallen angels. Fallen angels. And that all didn't happen at the same moment it did with Lucifer. Okay? The main testimonies in the Bible will be the book of Jude and the book of Revelation. And these are not the only ones. I'm just trying to give you something to search out later on. Okay, the third all of these are the beginning of pro-self in different realms and whatever. So the third beginning of pro-self is bringing it to earth. Number three, bringing it to earth. And of course, Genesis, the first couple of chapters, help you figure that one out. But it's interesting that Genesis doesn't start with the great fall, or what's sometimes called in the Bible the great transgression. But the Bible doesn't start with that. We have to be taken there, as it were, by the prophets to examine it. All right. The fourth great fall is, I put the fourth spread of pro-self, because now, yes, they are another fall, but every fall from here on out is the enemy just spreading this more and more and more. Okay, so of course now this third one is the Garden of Eden, right? The fall that people are most familiar with. But the fourth one is the spread of pro-self is having children. Now just think of any place in the Bible where it starts talking about you are of your father the devil, or children of the devil, or whatever. It's there. And so Satan is, he created this in himself, and then he began to take it to the angels and got a certain portion of the angels. And remember, this is just a short outline. We'll get into all of this. And then he took it to earth. And then in the earth, he started spreading it to make sure that he has children of this. They are children of pro-self. They are children of the devil, if you will. So it's one thing to be deceived by the devil. It's another thing to become a child of the devil. Amen. Probably everybody in this room has been at one time or another deceived by the devil. Doesn't mean you're a child of the devil. Okay. And it didn't mean that Eve was a child of the devil, or Adam in that sense. Okay. All right. The fifth one, the fifth spread of pro-self is establishing leaders. And, you know, I'm not sure if on the fourth I gave you some scriptures. Did I give you scriptures? Would you like some? Okay. John chapter 8, verse 42 through 44. Matthew 13, verse 37 through 40. Okay. All right. 13, verse 37 through 40. All right. So the fifth is establishing leaders. So that's going to be found primarily, or not, let's just say for sure you can find it in these places, but yeah, it's primarily in the New Testament. Book of Revelation and the Book of Thessalonians, and I can't remember which one, but you, Second Thessalonians. All right. And then finally, the sixth one is, remember, this is the spread of pro-self, right? So may I use these little things to mean establishing is the word that I'm going to use with another one behind it. Establishing, maybe this will be a shocker to you. Establishing Christians. And it's a real thing. Okay? It's a real thing. All right? So this, Satan came up with it in heaven. And this was his plan, and this is how he moved to spread it. All right. So let's look at the first one again then. Let's look at, or, you know, you can turn with me if you want, Isaiah chapter 14. And we're going to look at this in light of pro-self, not just, you know, any other angle. We want to see what is this spirit of pro-self. What is it? What is it like? What are its attributes? How can you know that in someone else or in yourself? In the children of Satan, and First John is really good at that. And one of the things that I'll eventually do is that I will go into the Bible, and we will look at Jesus' approach to the devil, and we will look at there's no order, but Matthew's. I can't remember if I get into Luke, but certainly John and 1 John and 2 and 3 John and the book of Revelation, since John wrote that. And we will literally take a bunch of those people, and it's amazing because they're coming from different angles of this. Like Jesus' angle is completely different than John's. Okay, and so on and so forth. So, Isaiah chapter 14, and let's start with verse 12. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground? So, the first part of that sentence is saying, you know, how did you fall? How is the fall, your fall from heaven to earth happen? And the second part of it is, how are you cut down to the ground? The first part is you're falling from up here where God is. The other one is you're cut down to the ground. Okay? And the scriptures are very specific. And very, they have juice in every one of them along this line. But if you're not really understanding pro-self, and you're not really understanding exactly this kind of a pattern, and this is a takeover intended to be a revolt that started in heaven and spread, then you're just going to be reading scriptures and go, yeah, the devil must have messed up and God kicked him out. Okay. It's more than that. And it's more than that to Jesus when he came to this earth. Son of the morning, how art thou cut down to the ground, which did weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I want you to catch how many times every one of these begin with I will. I, and then I will, okay? I will exalt, let's say, I will also sit upon the mount in the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. Yet thou shalt be brought down to hell, to the sides of the pit. Verse 16. They that see thee shall narrowly look upon thee and consider thee, saying, is this the man that made the earth to tremble, that did shake kingdoms, that made the world as a wilderness and destroyed the cities thereof, that opened not the house of his prisoners? Now this is, this verse 16 and 17 are really important and will be really highlighted in certain ones that we're going to find out their view of this. But it all has to do with the devil being a deceiver, but not, see, we all know the devil's a deceiver, right? We all know that. But we're talking about a deceiver in a completely different way, in accord with this subject here. All right. So I wrote, be sure to point out, and this was a note to myself, be sure to point out that the things that Lucifer noticed about God being a God, or in other words, what was the things that he said, I will be like the Most High God? What was it that attracted the devil to want to leave off being a cherub, a highly respected and honored angel, to break with God and want to overthrow God, not because he just was in rebellion to overthrow anything and everybody, but because he wanted to be that. He wanted that claim that God had. Okay? So, Lucifer noticed about God being a God were the external trappings of the position of being God. For example, the worship and adulation, being seated on an exalted throne above the stars, an ascension into heaven above the heights of the clouds. Those things, that to him was what being godlike entailed. Those things. Every ounce of that, folks, is pro-self. All right. Now let me just cut a little clearer line here. Usually when we think of the devil, we think, well, the devil made me do it. The devil made me sin. The devil made me go to, you know, or the devil, when he fell, he introduced murder and rape and drunkenness and all this kind of stuff. That's where we go. That's where we go with all of that. And certainly all of that's involved in it, but that's way down below, and maybe even Satan is smart to get us to focus on thinking of him as merely just kind of a reprobate instead of a mastermind of getting himself glorified above God and everybody else. Think of the book of Revelation. Think of the whole thing, and you'll go, well, that's it. Think of him meeting Jesus and taking him up, you know, on a high mountain and showing him all the kingdoms and saying, all you got to do is bow down and worship me. What kind of language is that? Worship me and I will give you all of this. Well, it is kind of laughable because it already belongs to God. But, you know, in the end, God's not going to want it. What I mean is, there'll be a new heaven and a new earth, and it won't have all that stuff in it. Okay? So, it's important to see that the main scriptures in the Bible that are talking about this great fall, the first one, the great transgression, have nothing to do with the sins that you worry about, that you've done, or that you, you know, would think, oh no, this is so bad, or whatever. It doesn't have anything to do with that. It has everything to do with self-promotion and with doing whatever you have to do, you know, even if it's be nice. Because by the time we get to 3, we're going to see his tactic to Adam and Eve was trying to kind of be nice, to sound nice. Okay? All right. So, I wrote down modern day Christianity, and this isn't across the board, and I don't know every church and every leader, but there's been a general thing for a long time, particularly with, I'll just say, charismatic type churches and everything, that you are the head and not the tail. Right? Now you say, but brother, that's in the Bible. Yeah, it's in the Bible, but it wasn't God speaking to you anyway. It was speaking to Israel. You know? And number two, that's not saying I give you permission to have Satan's attitudes and spirit. Right? No, that's not his heart. That wasn't his heart. Most of y'all already know this, that I take issue with Christians saying, and I've heard it a lot, you know, I'm a king's kid. Anybody ever heard that one? Or we're king's kids. It's not that you're nothing. You are a king's kid. And, I mean, first time I heard it, I went, number one, the king is Jesus, and Jesus didn't have you, so you're not his kid. You're brethren with Jesus. And number two, you're not the one. You're what you are by being in Christ and by Christ and by that one coming down and losing everything and laying down his life and being horribly treated and brutalized for if you will, you know, Satan's children or Christian leaders that preach that. Okay? I'm blessed coming in and blessed going out. Now, why do we really need that if we've got Jesus? You know, we're just with him. You know, you're going to go through bad things. If you believe that you're blessed coming in, blessed going out, there's not much left. Everything's going to be go your way is what you're saying. But there's not a person alive that's a Christian that doesn't understand that, yeah, I've gone through some stuff. And, you know, it would be funny if that every time they went through it, they would go, oh, I used to quote that instead of I still believe that. It's not about being blessed. It's about Christ coming in and living in. And filling up us as an earthen vessel instead of us being what it's all about. You know? I mean, if I were an earthen vessel standing up here, you know, and then just an earthen vessel, but I had rubies and diamonds and sapphires and all of this stuff, you know, all over me, and I had an opening where Christ could come, if Christ came in there, the treasure wouldn't be me still. It would be him. So there's, what is the point of trying to become something unless you got another spirit that might be working in you? And then you're going to be off. You know, y'all, some of you have heard me say this, but in archery, if you've got a target way down there, I mean, way, you know, put it out to the street, and you're getting ready to fire, and if you're just that far off, that little minuscule amount off, by the time it travels there, it's not going to hit the target, even if your aim was perfect. Well, what is the point of that, Randy? The point of that is, we're going to pervert something. So we constantly need the Holy Spirit to be revealing Christ to John 16, to convict of sin and to this and that. But it's not about convicting of sin because you sin. It's about keeping us in the right place so that Christ can be what? All. And in all. And so that spirit, because he came down here so that there would be those who were the children of God. The children of God. That has a whole different meaning than just being saved. It's really different. It's really different. So I wrote, so is the Spirit here to serve our Christianity? Is the Holy Spirit here to serve our Christianity? No, he's not. He's here to be our life. He's here to make sure that you go, well, you know, I became a Christian and I never heard anything about being crucified with Christ and I don't see the point of that. And besides, you know, da, 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 da. It's real important that you be crucified so that that nature, his nature, can flow through you. But just becoming a Christian doesn't change a pro-self attitude until you've let Christ become the fullness of that. Of this lamb within you. And we know there's a process. There is. There's a process. Nobody's perfect. But Jesus is, you know. And I remember as a kid living in a Methodist home orphanage, and, you know, one of the older kids would jump on you and say, well, you did so-and-so, done it wrong. And I remember me and several other kids, we'd go, nobody's perfect. Well, when I got saved, I would say stuff like that early on. I go, well, nobody's perfect. And God said to me, my son is, and he's in you. Yes, Father. And then there's, you know, that prosperity gospel or whatever. Lord willing, if we get to that part, we will see that being financially secure isn't just a good idea. It can be the enemy working behind that. But that's not as important as some of the other areas. And then I wrote this, and this is just my thoughts, and I'm sure I said that. But it just kind of came to me. So I wrote down, Satan may have, this is in the garden with Adam and Eve, Satan may have had a deceived version of sincerity, meaning he had a deceived version of sincerity when he told Adam and Eve that they could be like God, meaning that they could be more exalted than mere gardeners. You get the gardener thing? God says, here's the garden and take care of it and da, 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 all this kind of stuff. Somebody had to prune everything and stuff like that. And I'm not going to go there. That was his ambition, and in his deception, he may have wanted to liberate Adam and Eve from their bondage. Of course, this is just speculation. It's just a thought, but it's called self-deception. And surely the devil had, there was no other source to deceive the devil except self-deception. There wasn't any. So in his mind, he could be thinking, well, you know, I think I mentioned this somewhere else, but, you know, I know I walked among the, you know, we didn't even read that in Ezekiel, but, you know, I walked among the stones and I did all this stuff with God and I was highly exalted. But, you know, I think that God could have recognized certain other things in me, but he didn't. And so Satan's going, you know, hey, I got liberated. You can be liberated too, man. God, you know, and that's what it sounded like. The way that he was deceiving them, and again, we'll get to that third point, but the way he was deceiving them was, yea, hath God said, and that you can only do this. You know, you can't eat of all the trees. Instead of saying, you can't eat of that one because it's not good for you. Is God limiting you? It could have even had a certain, you know, with that sense of sincerity, you know, I know, you know, he didn't treat me well either. But you can go further. And I'm here to bless you. So anyway, all right, let's go to Ezekiel 28. And we'll start at verse 1. So one of the things when you're doing a study on this in Ezekiel 28, there's some people that talk about this chapter and they say that it's all about the country of Tyre and its prince. And then other people say, well, it's about Satan. Well, I say it's about both. And I wrote, since this king is so closely aligned himself with the ways of Satan, then he shall suffer the same fate as Satan. Tyrus is just an example of what Jesus and John were talking about when they said many antichrist. The first part of Ezekiel 28 is going to be verse 1 through 18. And the second part will pick up let's see. We'll see where we go from there. All right. So the word of the Lord came again unto me, saying, Son of man, say unto the prince of Tyrus. So you can say, see, right? You can say, see. This wasn't to Satan. This wasn't to, you know. Thus saith the Lord God, because thine heart is lifted up, and thou hast said, I am a God. I sit in the seat of God, in the midst of the seas. Yet thou art a man, and not God, though thou set thine heart as the heart of God. Behold, thou art wiser than Daniel. There is no secret that they can hide from thee. With thy wisdom and with thine understanding, thou hast gotten thee riches and hast gotten gold and silver into thy treasures. By thy great wisdom, notice the word wisdom and wiser has already been used three times. Wisdom is going to be a huge part of this course. By thy traffic hast thou increased thy riches, and thy heart is lifted up because of thy riches. Therefore, thus saith the Lord God, because thou hast set thine heart as the heart of God, behold, therefore I will bring strangers upon thee, the terrible of the nations, and they shall draw their swords against the beauty of thy wisdom, and they shall defile thy brightness. They shall bring thee down to the pit. Thou shalt die the deaths of them that are slain in the midst of the seas. Wilt thou yet say before him that slayeth thee, I am God? But thou shalt be a man and no God in the hand of him that slayeth thee. Thou shalt die the deaths of the uncircumcised by the hand of strangers, for I have spoken it, saith the Lord God. All right. So to show the dividing, I wrote, beginning now in verse 11, we have the transition from speaking about the prince of Tyrus to referring to Lucifer. In the first part, the ruler of Tyrus is referred to as a prince. But as the reference changes to Lucifer, he is referred to as the king of Tyrus. This prince, referring to the man, is merely a pawn of the true ruler and king, which is Satan. Y'all see that? Yeah. That all of that stuff that was in this prince of Tyrus came from somewhere, and it's fixing to tell you where it came from. Okay. All right, so verse 11. Moreover, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, take up a lamentation upon the king of Tyrus, and say unto him, Thus saith the Lord God, thou sealest up the sum, full of wisdom and perfect in beauty. Verse 13, thou hast been in Eden, the garden of God. Every precious stone was thy covering, the sardis, the topaz, and the diamond, the beryl, and the onyx, and the jasper, and the sapphire, and the emerald, and the carbuncle, and gold, the workmanship of thy tabrets and of thy pipes was prepared in thee in the day that thou wast created. See, angels were created, they weren't born. Verse 14, but thou art the anointed cherub that covereth, and I have set thee so. Thou wast upon the holy mountain of God. Thou hast walked up and down in the midst of the stones of fire. Thou wast perfect in thy ways from the day that thou wast created, till iniquity was found in thee. And iniquity is lawlessness. Verse 16, by the multitude of thy merchandise they have filled the midst of thee with violence, and thou hast sinned. Therefore I will cast thee as profane out of the mountain of God, and I will destroy thee, O covering cherub, from the midst of the stones of fire. Thine heart was lifted up because of thy beauty. Thou hast corrupted thy wisdom by reason of thy brightness. I will cast thee to the ground. I will lay thee before kings, that they may behold thee. Thou hast defiled thy sanctuaries by the multitude of thine iniquities, by the iniquity of thy traffic. Therefore will I bring forth a fire from the midst of thee, and it shall devour thee. And I will bring thee to ashes upon the earth, and in the sight of all them that behold thee, all they that know thee among the people shall be astonished at thee. Thou shalt be a terror, and never shalt thou be any more. Okay, so if you look close, you see a division. You see clearly that the king or the prince of Tyrus was a person who submitted himself to that pro-self thing. And it's clear. Okay, but then, starting in verse 11, I think it was, anyway, began to change and say, okay, now I want to talk to the king. And he starts talking about someone who was in the garden, right? And who was before when he was of God and he was blessed and all of this. And that couldn't have been the king, the prince of Tyrus. And he called him Lucifer here. So I wrote, in examining verse 12 through 15, we must ask the question, what caused Lucifer to fall and become Satan? Was it God's fault? Was Lucifer a mistreated individual whom God kept down and caused him to live in misery, abuse, and rejection? No. This is one of the lies the enemy and those who are of his mind take against God and others. that they should have been better treated, been honored and set above others more, and been respected more in accord with how they see themselves. Okay, so you would be surprised how often that comes up, probably at any job, anything, eventually, you know, somebody goes, they become disgruntled and they just don't, you know, they hate the company or they hate the football team or they hate, you know, something. I should have been more honored. I should have been recognized for who I am. I should have, you know. And then instead of spending their life finding a place that would recognize that, they spend their life attacking, in this case, Satan spends his life attacking God. So, it is important that we see Satan as a deceiver, but not just as a trickster who causes us to fall into sin, but as someone who promotes self, makes himself look better than what he is. He tells lies and uses cover-up, etc. In other words, it's all about himself. Okay, so the general thing when anyone says that Satan or the devil is a deceiver, it's, John is a great one to start digging into that, because he really covers what the deception is that he's trying to bring about, what the devil is. And but he is as someone who promotes self, makes himself look better than what he is, okay? And then he has to tell lies about who he is or what he is and whatever. And we see that in the scriptures that we read in Ezekiel and in Isaiah 14. We see that in the book of Revelation, when in the beginning, the very beginning, as far as the fall, you know, bringing that down to the earth, as far as what we would call the first fall, but it's really the third. We see that there, where the devil comes to Adam and Eve, and he is what? It's just a serpent, okay? He's a serpent. But you take that down all the way down to the end, like what the last one we were talking about, and he's a great red dragon. No, he's not. He's still just a serpent that had his legs taken away by God. He is not, but he comes on like all this, you know, all this power and all this stuff and has all this in the book of Revelation, and everybody's looking at him and he's just got everybody deceived by reason of his lifting himself up, lying and being the father of it to make him appear and seem more scary, more, you know, all this stuff. And then both in Ezekiel and Isaiah, they both end their little thing with, and the world, those that you deceive and all that, they shall narrowly look upon you, and they shall say, is this the one that deceived the nations? Is this the one? In other words, they will see a little slimy little snake instead of a great red dragon, and they will go, really? I mean, the deception. Yes, they were deceived about who he was, but his whole thing was to paint himself differently, to lie, to tell everybody, I'm this, I've got this power, I can do this to you. You should be afraid of me, you should honor me, you should all this kind of stuff. And then God just brings him down so that everybody can just look at him and go, well, this is nothing. This is nothing. So, with that, you can see why I did a little sharing before this class on what did I call that one? The one about, so you're
scared of the devil and scared of the internet.
Yeah. So what?
So you're scared of the devil and afraid of the internet.
So you're scared of the devil and afraid of the end times. If you could see him the way God's going to let you see him when he has no more power to deceive and he's brought down, and then you looked at the end times, you would go, well, this guy, and if you even remember, I don't know if you even remember. I used examples that the Spirit of God showed me where the Antichrist, they make a big statue and everybody's afraid of him and all this kind of stuff. And it's like, I said, why would somebody who has all this power need to make a statue that can move and talk? And you go, you know, I mean, even if it was concrete and it did move and talk, I thought you, Mr. Devil, were way more powerful than that. Why would you need that? Because that was the focal point of why everybody was scared and receiving the mark of the beast. And I went, this is proof that he is not what he says he is. And he's not. He's a deceiver and he's a liar. And he wants you to believe all that stuff. Where he is the most dangerous, and I'll end with this, where he is the most dangerous is in relationship to pro-self and convincing people of that, you know, that I deserve more, or, you know, I'm going to work to get all this stuff or whatever, and make that your life and who you are. We'll get into all that in a deeper way, and I'll say it better than that. But that's where, if you should be afraid of the devil, it's that pro-self area. And that's why it starts in heaven before creation, and it goes all the way through till starts reaching Christians and infiltrates the church and starts pawning off his views of how God made you and how you're supposed to be superior to everybody, you know, because you're a Christian and all this. When in truth, we're just earthen vessels. But we have a treasure, and all glory goes to him. Amen? All right, we'll stop here. Father, we just thank you for your Spirit being here with us. And Father, you know how important this is, and this one class is not a good definition of everything we're going to cover. We're going to have our eyes opened in so many areas, and it's going to liberate us. And Father, if we've had any worries about pro-self at work within us or our loved ones or, you know, this church or whatever, you will begin to give things that can bring a release from that. So that your Son can be all and in all. So that we can all that have passed through all of that, can fall down before the slaughtered Lamb on the throne and say, worthy is the Lamb. And we will all fall down before him and honor him from our hearts. Thank you, Father. Continue to bless and move by your Spirit. In Jesus' name, for his sake. Amen.